All right, this is the problem when I wear a dress, but I did tell people, I've gotten many comments today, there are two women in our passage today, and I did not want to be mistaken for the other one. So, this is my only white I really had, so I'm going for the bride. So this is funny. Savannah last week said she had no idea which lesson she was doing. I mean, we don't get to pick. I think Lindsay like showed me this is the one, and I looked at the title, and I was like, oh, that's my favorite one. Thinking, I mean, it's called what? Blessed to be prepared as a bride. And I was like, there's a lot of good bride things in Revelation. That would be fun. It was like a bait and switch, I think, with, but we're starting at the end here. Has anybody gotten, I get these many a year, a save the date, a wedding invitation, where it's like, put this date on your calendar, this is coming, prepare for it. And I was like, that's kind of what this passage is doing, right? But I went to the save the date site, the different pictures that they would use, and I was like, none of these really fit what we're saving the date for. And so what would this save the date be? It would say something like, hallelujah, he has judged the great prostitute who corrupted the earth with her immorality. Hallelujah, the smoke from her goes up forever and ever. But this is what we're waiting for. This is the date we are waiting for that is going, that's when, let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. So our save the date is a very, we're going to get into it. It's a dark date, but we have to know that something very beautiful is coming after. So we will dive right in. So last week, actually, chapter 16, we talked about, 15 and 16, we talked about the different bowls, and 17 and 18 and a little bit into 19, this section is kind of like a snapshot of the sixth and seventh bowl. Is this bothering you guys? Is it too? Okay. So just looking back quickly, the sixth bowl was basically the dragon and the beast and the false prophet all calling out, going to the kings of the earth to assemble them for battle. That's where Jesus jumps in and says in 15, behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake, keeping his garments on, that he may not go about naked and be seen exposed. That's very fitting for this week's study. We need to stay awake and alert in our current day for the day that he's going to come. And then the seventh bowl is all about the judgment of Babylon. And so we see in verse 19 where it says, God remembered Babylon the Great to make her drain the cup of the wine of the fury of his wrath. And so we're gonna jump right into that. In 17:1, it says, one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and said to me, come, I will show you the judgment of the great prostitute who is seated on many waters. And we find out in verse 15 what those waters are, and the waters that you saw where the prostitute is seated are peoples and multitudes and nations and languages. And so in my slides today, I'm gonna have some current day places and some leaders, not saying they apply to this passage. I'm just getting our minds wrapped around what this is talking about. It's talking about peoples and languages and nations, which she is seated over all of them. We know that Jesus in his bride is going to have people from all of those areas as well, but there's a division here. And so I'm just warning you, because I am going to have some slides. This one's going to be, these are the 9 largest cities in the world. All of them have, over 20 million people in them. So this would be, it's just a sampling of who this prostitute is seated on. Who is she influencing? And obviously not limited to just big cities. It's a worldwide seated. And so then we want to think, who is this woman? Who is this woman? And we had a short explanation, and I will tell you a few things. So Nancy Guthrie, she has a lot of people that she has drawn on to get her information for her book. Her book is very reasonable, very readable, very small. One of the main people she draws on is G.K. Beale, who has written a commentary. This is his shorter commentary. I think it's 500 pages. It's excellent. This section that we're going over from 17 to 1910 has about 50 pages, and I got pulled into reading them. But this is his shorter one. The larger one is 1,500 pages. So if we triple that, it could have been 150 pages on this section. I'm glad I don't have the larger one. But my point is, when she's saying these things, so what I'm going to quote is her statement about the woman on page 43. It's a very condensed statement about who. Page 40, sorry, not of the book. This is page 43, sorry. You guys don't have to turn here. When I say numbers, you don't always have to turn. But I'm just telling you where it is as a reference. So when she says this, it's just she's saying it. Where does she get that? She's getting that from a lot of information. I will say in the 50 pages that he wrote on, every page probably had 50 to 100 Old Testament quotes. And that's what I've been struck by in this study of Revelation, is how much John draws on the Old Testament. I feel like I was semi-prepared from the Old Testament coming through. We've gone through the read-through probably, I've probably gone through it 5 times, 5 or 6 times. So I was I feel pretty comfortable, but this is just deeper depths than I am capable of, and he goes to deeper depths than I am capable of. But I'm just telling you, there's a lot behind when she makes this statement. So I'm just telling you. So it says the great prostitute in Revelation 17 is essentially the world, its systems, its values, and its ways. He has a much larger explanation of that, but we'll stick with that for right now. So thinking of the world, its systems, he specifically talks about economic systems, religious systems, governments, basically all the institutions that are running the world, he refers to. So these are the largest cities in the world. This is going to be a slide of the most economically influential cities of the world. It's a very different group of cities, but this is from 1 to 9 again. And these cities The most influential is London. This obviously, this might not be exactly right, but the site had gone into a lot of depth of, they used a lot of different information to figure out which cities were the most economically influential from, you know, what they produce, banks, banking systems, many, many different things. But this is just a snapshot of these influential cities of the world. It's not really that important. I will. Do you guys really want to hear what they are? London, England, New York City, Tokyo, Japan, Paris, France, Singapore, Berlin, Germany, Shanghai, China, Brussels, Belgium, and Delhi, India. You see a couple overlaps from the largest cities, but not too much overlap. So anyway, I just wanted you guys to get a sense of who this prostitute is over, like all the peoples of the world, and what types of institutions, this isn't showing institutions, but large influential groups that represent this prostitute. And it represents through all of history too. So it's a very broad topic. So we are going to move on to this woman and what exactly is the allure that she has. And I'm going to use actually John's reference in 1 John. We are on that same page 43 of our homework. And we went to 1 John verses 2:15 through 17. And it's the verse that says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever." So we're just going to march through these statements about the prostitute and kind of correlate them to the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life. So in 17:2, it says, "This prostitute seated on many waters with peoples with whom the kings of the earth have committed sexual immorality, and with the wine of whose sexual immorality the dwellers on earth have become drunk." So we see these desires of the flesh being played out. And then we jump down to verse 4, and we see the desire of the eyes, what she's dressed like. So the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and jewels and pearls, holding in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the impurities of her sexual immorality. So I want you guys to notice some things here. Her dress is actually very similar to the dress in when we're going to read about what the bride is dressed like in chapter 21. There is a strong parallel to how she is dressed. So don't think this prostitute looks like a Las Vegas showgirl. She looks like a lot like the bride. She looks a lot like the bride, different colors, but the linen, all the jewels. That was something I was going to Beale actually on Wednesday to find out more about the beast, like the what, da 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 da. And I jumped in at this point talking about the prostitute, and I was just like, oh my goodness, she looks like us. And we have to be very, very careful, because that this is why we need to be awake and alert, because she's trying to look like us. She's trying to look like the bride. She's trying to look like a priest. The language there is a lot like the priestly garments from the Old Testament. So she's very deceptive, and we see that she has deceived all the nations in 18 verse 23, all the nations have been deceived, and including the church. And so this is one of those things where this is why it's so important that we stay awake and be alert. So we have the pride of life also. She is a very proud woman. Verse 5 says, and on her forehead was written a name of mystery, Babylon the Great, mother of prostitutes and of earth's abominations. And then later it says in 18, verse 7, it says that as she glorified her, let's skip down, that she says, I sit as a queen, I am no widow, and mourning shall I never see. She thinks that she's untouchable. And she does, it does say that she has dominion over the kings of the earth. She has a lot of power. She has a lot of power. So, all right, we're going to move on from the allure of the world on to, this is another important part. So we see that even John, when he saw her, it says he marveled greatly. And this is John, who I just said has more depth of knowledge of the Old Testament than, I mean, I could even imagine, and he still marvels. That word for marveled is like wonder and amazement and almost worship. So it's the same word that the world, the dwellers on earth, are going to have for the beast, that they marveled at him. So John is marveling at this woman, and we don't know why, but it probably has something to do. She looks a lot like what you're supposed to look like. She looks a lot like a priest. Yeah, I mean, it's deceptive. It requires wisdom, as it says later. So I wanted to make sure that we saw that, so that we can know how alert we need to be as well. Okay, so our next one is we're going to move on to the beast, and all right. So because then the angel's going to say, why do you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast with the seven. We didn't talk about the beast, but we're going to enough. But he's saying, I'm going to reveal this mystery about the beast with the seven heads and the ten horns that carries her. So this beast, so again, I have real people not saying that these are the people, but I will say they do represent the people. So all through history, the beast can be seen, you know, involved with any tyrannical government that you've ever heard of, any corrupt institution. Like, the beast can be seen in these things. So I just put this picture up so we could have a glimpse of it. So the beast, it says, the beast that you saw was and is not and is about to rise from the bottomless pit and go to destruction. So these three obviously are, we saw in previous weeks how we had the triune dragon, beast, second beast, who was the false prophet. Yeah, the false prophet. And then this time we see this beast being described as him who was and is not and is to come. And that is repeated multiple times in this passage, but it's repeating the phrase about, obviously, Jesus, who he was and is to come. So it's trying again to mimic the truth. They want to confuse people and make them think that this is real. And so The other ones, we see that the dwellers of the earth, whose names have not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, will marvel to see the beast, because it was and is not and is to come. And then again in 17:10, we see that the seven kings, five have fallen, which that would be like they were, one is, and the other has not yet come. So it's repeated multiple times, and then again in 17:11, the beast was and is not, and it goes to destruction. So just we need to know that this again is it's a power, but it's a false power, and it's a mimicking of Jesus's power. Does that make sense? Anyway, I know that there's a lot of things in here. I'll just do my best, and we'll kind of move on. Is that okay? Do you guys mind doing that? Anyway, guess what? If you have more questions, he has a lot of answers. So we'll move on. Okay. So, okay, now this is another. I am not saying that these are the ones. I am saying, so my next slide, I'm prepping you. I'm not saying that these are the ones. I'm just saying these are current leaders of the world, okay? But we need to be aware of them, and we need to keep our eyes on them, okay? All right. So, just so nobody's shocked when I turn the slide. Okay, so these are the current rulers of the most powerful countries of the world today. And now some of these might be a little unfamiliar because some of them have just come into power like in the last month or two, recently, very, very recently. So you can familiarize yourselves with these guys. All right, so we see next that, are you gonna read it? It's just the countries. So this is our president from the United States, Joe Biden, and I'm not gonna know all their names. China, Russia, Germany, the United Kingdom, who just replaced the woman that was there for about a month, Japan, France, South Korea, he's pretty new to, Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates. Again, like I just looked on the internet and went to the most powerful countries in the world, who are their rulers. Not definitive, I'm just saying these are the rulers of our world right now, okay? And the 10 we know, as we've read earlier in our book, does not represent 10 actual people. It's more of a general all. Remember, the 10 represented all in world terms. Do you guys remember that? You can go back in the book and look at that too. All right. So we see that the 10 horns or 10 kings, they are going to receive authority for 1 hour with the beast. They are going to have one mind, and they're going to hand their authority over to the beast. So that's just something that they are going to do. We find out later why they do that. And they are going to make war on the Lamb. So this is not, like, these are things to just be aware of and pay attention to what's going on in our world. So I don't know if any of you are aware, but earlier this summer, there was a treaty at the WHO, the World Health Organization, and most, I don't know if all, but the United States, most of Europe and the United States and many of the other large countries of the world wanted to make this treaty with the WHO that would have given, the WHO has their own constitution. Do you guys know about this? The WHO has their own constitution, and they were trying to make this treaty where if we had another large health emergency, every country's constitution would revert to the WHO's constitution and would basically be ruled by the WHO. So I'm not saying that didn't happen, but I'm just saying those are things to pay attention to in our world, because that would have been a uniting in one mind and giving power over to one entity. Thankfully, the African countries were the ones that resisted at this, that they were the reason that it didn't go through, because too many African countries did not go along with it. Just a FYI. okay, and then we find out that they are going to make war on the lamb. So this is the world. This is the power it has, and we are going to find out though that it's not all there is to know about the world, because there is more to know. So this picture is from Pilgrim's Progress, and he is the Muckraker, I believe is his name. And this is in the I will confess, I have not read all of Pilgrim's Progress, but for some reason, I don't even know how I got onto this, but this is in the second part of Pilgrim's Progress. So it's when Christiana, his wife, and children end up going on the journey, and they come to Interpreter's house. And the muckraker is a man that is sitting in a room, and he's just raking the straw and the muck on the ground, and he's so bent over and he just can't see anything else except for this his work that he's so intent on. And it's supposed to represent the world and all that goes on in the world, and that people in the world can only see that, and it's so disgusting, but they won't look up to see the truth. And but there is a wonderful truth about the world that we can see, and we need to make sure we don't get into that muckraker mentality. I think our muckraker might be directed towards our phones, maybe? That maybe is. I don't know. That's just a side comment. Again, whatever. I'll just move on. Okay, so the truth about the world that we find out, they are uniting together to attack the lamb and all of the lamb's people, his bride. But we find out in 14 that the lamb will actually conquer them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and he actually is in charge of all of these groups that we've talked about. He's in charge of the great prostitute and the beast and the kings and the dwellers on earth, even though they don't acknowledge it or even pay attention to it. He's still in charge. And he uses a very interesting method to conquer the world, because he actually uses their unhealthy relationship with each other to destroy themselves. So we see that, let's see, what verse is it? So in 17, it says, God has put it in their hearts. Oh, wait, no, above that. The 10 horns that you saw, they said they and the beast will hate the prostitute, and they will make her desolate and naked and devour her flesh and burn her up with fire. And it may be that they are doing that because the prostitute, we find out in verse 18, actually has dominion over the kings of the earth. Like, she has a power over them, and they probably don't like that. It is. They are very self-centered, but just as Satan, in his thought to kill Christ on the cross, this idea is another bad idea for Satan. But that seems to be his issue. So he and the kings turn on the prostitute and destroy her. And we find out that God has actually put it into their hearts to carry out his purpose by being of one mind and handing over their royal power to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. So we see next all the different ways that this prostitute in chapter 18, we see all the different ways that she is undone and undone very, very quickly. I have zero idea what time it is. Are we good?
It's 10:05.
Okay, so I have like 5 minutes, or I have no minutes. Okay, I'll finish up. I'm almost done. Okay. So we see that chapter 18 is all about Babylon the Great just being undone. And then we see the kings who devised with the beast to do all these things to her. We see the kings really regretting that decision because they realize, oh yeah, we're actually pretty dependent on this prostitute and all that she has. So they're sad about it. The merchants are very sad about it. Everybody that makes money off of her, everybody that is indulged in her luxuries and luxurious living, they really mourn when this prostitute is taken down. So the question is, would we mourn? Because this is actually, if we look around our daily life, we are pretty connected to this system and this woman. And the question is, if all the economic systems and institutions of the world were toppled, would we mourn about that, or would we rejoice? And that's the question, isn't it, that this is asking? That's a key question of this passage. And what are we called to do? In 18, verse 4 says, "Then I heard another voice from heaven saying, 'Come out of her, my people, lest you take part in her sins, lest you share in her plagues. For her sins are heaped high as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities.'" And this is going to happen. This is going to happen, and we need to think about who we are going to be. Will we mourn, or will we rejoice with the bride? And because we see this prostitute, these systems, It says in 1824, "And in her was found the blood of the prophets and of the saints and of all who have been slain on earth." This is the answer, remember back in, I'm not going to remember the chapter, whatever chapter, 6 maybe? I don't know. Wherever the people are under the altar and they are crying out and saying, "When are you going to avenge our deaths?" These are martyrs who have witnessed to Jesus and they have died for it. And they're asking, "When, O Lord, are you going to do something about this?" This is He's doing it. And we need to be aware of how He's going to do it and be prepared for when He does it. So I'll just wrap up by saying chapter 19, verse 9, we'll go there. "And the angel said to me, 'Write this, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb.' And he said to me, 'These are the true words of God.' Then I fell down at his feet to worship him." Again, John's getting a little confused. "But he said to me, 'You must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.'" We need to hold to the testimony of Jesus, and we need to keep our eyes open to what's going on in the world around us, what's going on in our churches, what's going on in our midst, and be prepared as a bride. He's given us beautiful clothes. Will we put them on? All right, let's pray. Father, these are hard words, and especially living in America, we have to admit we are so intimately connected to this system that we have a hard time stepping back and seeing it for what it is sometimes. I just pray that we would have the vision and the wisdom that John had when he was able to step back into the wilderness and see it from a distance. I pray that you would help us see clearly what you are doing in the world and trust confidently in what you are doing in the world. And thank you for Jesus, who has accomplished all these great things for us and has prepared beautiful white clothing of his righteous deeds for us. I pray that we would walk in them. It's in his name we pray. Amen.